Hello and welcome to the English Martial Arts Channel. This episode we have an interview with Chris Myers, who is the head of the English Martial Arts in America. This interview is done by Stuart Stintzer, who also has a podcast show called The Comic Book Education. And if anybody's interested in comic books, Marvel or DC films, please tune into that one as well. It's a great, great podcast. And here we go. And without further ado, here is the interview between Stuart Stintzer and Chris Myers of the English Martial Arts.
Welcome to the English Martial Arts Podcast. My name is Stuart.
I'm Chris Myers.
And we are going to learn a little more about you. You are my teacher. And I've known you since, 2005?
Wow.
So. Yeah. We're going to dig in a little deeper here, though, but you are, why don't you introduce yourself? You're better at that than me.
Okay. Well, I'm Chris Myers. I'm the owner and director of the American Academy of English Martial Arts, and I'm the deputy director of the Company of Maesters of the Science of Defense, which is run by Terry Brown in London, England.
Maester Terry Brown.
Maester
Terry Brown. I get that right.
Yes. And he is... He's ancient Maester Terry Brown, actually, not because he's old. It's because of the title, and he is in charge of the Company of Maesters board. There is one other ancient Maester, and that is Frank Daughtry. And this is actually his podcast, so we are very honored to be a part of this.
Yeah, and if you can't tell, this is the American chapter because of our accents. We do not sound English.
It doesn't sound English?
Wow. Or Scottish or anything.
Yeah.
Heaven forbid.
Yeah. We're American.
Well, how about you tell me a little about your background in martial arts?
Okay. Well, I started training in martial arts back when I was 12 years old. And that was, I think, 1983.
Oh, my goodness. Damn, you're old.
Yeah, thank you. And... And it was in an Okinawan karate named Shoreru, and it was something that I just absolutely loved and trained in that for years until I was actually moved up to Georgia and to go to school. And so I was in my early 20s when I moved up into where I currently reside and continued to train, but it was... and I also trained in other things like jiu-jitsu and kabuto, which is a weapons system in the Oriental martial arts, especially Okinawan. And I also trained in some different street combatives that caught my interest. But most of my core background is karate.
Very nice. Very nice. You are, what was the rank that you were? A Dan or something?
I obtained my black belt in Shoreru and trained in that for a number of years. I actually ran a school in Tampa for a few years prior to coming to school up here in Georgia. So I have some experience in teaching prior to doing any English martial arts. And I just love the stuff, you know. It's a passion.
Well, how did you find out about English martial arts? Where did that start for you?
Right. In 1997, 98, I came across George Silver's book or books. And I read that and I thought, wow, this is really interesting. Shakespearean kind of English, but it was still fascinating. Very, very interesting about the English or science of defense, English martial arts. And it was in 1999, early 1999, that I came across Terry Brown's book, The English Martial Arts. And I read that, and I thought, wow, this is amazing. And so I called Terry on the phone. I was just so impressed with the book. I was, this is amazing, fascinating material. And he very nice gentleman. I mean, and he invited me to come train with him. And that year, in June of that year, I went and flew across to England and trained with him for about 2 weeks. And I also had the pleasure of meeting Frank Daughtry at that time and trained with him a little bit. Frank was Terry's top or highest ranked student at the time. And wow, it was a very I was sold. It was just a wonderful experience. And those guys were just so kind, very patient. And because it was very different from any of the karate that I had trained in back younger years. And it was, I was sold. Sword fighting, quarterstaff fighting, bare fist fighting. I mean, the whole thing was just fascinating. And it just touched something, I think, deep within me. You know, who doesn't want to learn how to fight with swords? You know, oh, I mean, man. That was just that alone in the quarterstaff, you know, like Robin Hood. And to me, it was, that was something that just touched something. And I have not looked back since. Now, I still train some in karate, but 99.9% of the time, it's the English martial arts, and I love it.
You've been over there several times. You've played your prize there twice, correct?
Correct. We've gone back and forth every other year for the most part. Recently, not as much, but I made a point from 1999 and every other year after that, I was there at least a week. And Terry was very kind. He gave me as much information as my brain could handle, and then some. And then I'd bring it back here to the States and would pass that along and train with it and practice. And but he was great. And there were other times. It wasn't always me going there. Sometimes we'd meet up in like Canada one time. I've actually brought him here to the States to teach. So there's a. But we've gotten together pretty often, pretty regularly.
I liked you mentioned one time you went there and you had jet lag, and I guess you hadn't eaten or drinking. I can't remember, but you went to the Cotswolds that day, I guess, and you had to do. And Terry was teaching you a pretty intense thing, and I'm sure you were just wiped out because that's a tough trip.
It was,
and it was wet, right?
Yeah, of course, it's always wet. It was actually it wasn't that bad as far as weather goes. It did rain. The Cotswolds are just gorgeous, and we were a part of the Cotswold Games, which had been going on since King James is the first time period, I believe, which actually predates the Highland Games. It was a wonderful experience. No, I did not go purring. That's a whole nother story.
They tried, though.
They tried to make me go purring, which is basically a shin kicking contest, and I just had to say no. I think I was pretty wise in that.
Yeah, definitely.
But that was a wonderful experience. Yeah, I was very tired. The biggest highlight in that experience, besides the camaraderie with all the brothers in the Compi of Maesters, was the training on top of that hill, where he taught me how to fight 8 swordsmen with 1 quarterstaff. And no, I did. It took a while, but it was one of those training experiences, despite the little bit of rain, that I'll never forget. You know, these guys coming at me with these swords and me with 1 quarterstaff, but Terry made it look easy, and it was something that that I've continued to train with, and it's wonderful. But anyway, just being up there, the ambiance, the smells and the weather and being out there in the outdoors under these huge oaks and training in quarterstaff fighting, authentic English quarterstaff fighting and broadsword fighting was just a wonderful, wonderful experience.
What, and as far as how Terry teaches you and taught really all of us, how would you say, is it about the same in general as in other martial arts, or is it different, or is it a...
Well, there are similarities, of course, every instructor has their own way of teaching, and Terry's got a wonderful gift of being able to explain complicated things in a simplified way that will stick, that kind of comes back to you. And I have appreciated that. It's very different from the way I trained in karate. And so it was, he and Frank both were very patient with me. And I got it, but it was a wonderful, he's a very good teacher, and he simplifies things, makes it simple to understand. And I appreciate that.
Was it difficult for you to unlearn things, or?
There were some things that were difficult. You know, like with anything, it's new, when it's new, practice, and it becomes easy. The people that I've found that do the best initially anyway, and then everybody kind of gets on the same playing field, but the people that do the best initially are a lot of times the ones that don't have a martial arts background. There's nothing to muddy the waters or complicate or to unlearn. You know, it's just kind of a blank slate.
Yeah.
And you were one of those.
I was definitely people. A blank slate.
And,
yes.
But you quickly caught on. I mean, I wish I could have grown and learned as fast as you did. Oh. You know, I think I had to unlearn some things. But in general, it was still a very good thing. And you know, ultimately, it would have been best, of course, to be there with him all the time to train on a weekly basis. So that was an added challenge but you know, when you love something and you really enjoy doing it, you make it work. And we did.
How did you start creating a club or classes in general? What was that step for you? Was it a scary step?
It wasn't so much scary as it was, what was the right timing? The big thing was getting training partners, and I've lost count how many training partners I've gone through over the years. And it's not that I ran them off, I don't think. I think it's just, you know, people have chapters in their lives and things that kind of go along, and I fully understand that. But learning and teaching as a club, not so much as a school or an academy, but just as a club, a lot less pressure. You know, you're just kind of getting out there and let's meet out at the park and we'll just train a little bit and have fun at it. And that's what I did the first, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. And then as I started to go up in rank, they started to go ahead and allow, you know, now it's time to kind of step it up a little bit if you want. And I was willing. And once I became a provost and took my provost prize, I also got a letter of, in a sense, license to open up my own school. And so I did, and it made it kind of official. So the club kind of became more of an academy, or what we're calling the American Academy of English Martial Arts. And now we're not just teaching it, but we're also providing ranks for people.
Yeah, having prizings over here.
Prizings, and it's amazing how many, we've got a lot of free scholars now. I think we're up over 20 now.
So I think we've had 5 prizings or something.
Just this past past year, I think.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's growing. It's a lot of word of mouth and a lot of people finding it on the website. Thank you, Jeremy.
Yes, thank you, Jeremy. It started off, you had a training partner, and then it kind of grew from there. And then we had a little bit of a lean time there, and now all of a sudden it's kind of exploded, wouldn't you agree? I mean, we've got an awful lot of students.
We do.
And something that's unique, I feel, is you have a children's class.
Children's
class.
That's program,
really wonderful. Like, what was the impetus for that?
Okay. Well, I always told myself, even as a kid, when I grow up and have children of my own, I'm going to teach them martial arts because I think it's a very valuable skill. What's the skill? Well, it's not just for health purposes, but for self-defense. That was the thing that motivated me, because I have 4 kids and I wanted to pass this along to them, and I want them to pass it along to their kids, you know, and that goes for all of my students. So really, that was the impetus. It was just my children needing that, and getting other kids involved would be helpful, because the more the merrier, and the crowd draws a crowd, and it helps them to sharpen themselves, pun intended, to have others to practice with, you know, not just their siblings, you know. And for me, that's been such a joy. And my wife, who Alexa, has been a wonderful. She's actually trained in this and actually prized herself. She's ranked it, as a free scholar, and she actually helps pretty much directly runs the children's program. I give influence behind the scenes, but she's pretty much running it because I'm helping teach the beginners adult classes, and she's doing the kids. But we all kind of pitch in to one degree or another, and that has been wonderful. It's a real camaraderie. It's a real kind of brother sisterhood that I think we've kind of this culture that we've developed, which is a American / English influence, you know. So it's been great.
How would you describe like your teaching style? Do you have a certain way of going about things, or?
Well, I don't know. My instructors growing up, and that includes Terry, are a lot more strict in how they present the material, and my personality is a lot more relaxed, and so. It's quite a departure, to be honest, from my old the old stuff that I grew up in, but it fits for me. Not everybody's going to probably appreciate it or like it, but I do. And
yeah. I appreciate it. My goodness. We had for 2 months where we just went all out for 30 minutes, like, just warming up. And after like 2 months, I was like, Chris, I can't move. Like my body is dying. Luckily, we toned it down
a little. Yeah. Well, we've gone through some different attempts at trying to make it the way we'd like it, and I think we've kind of found a niche and way that we do it that I think for the most part people appreciate, and I think it works because we've got more. It's growing, you know.
Sure is.
More, and we're not really the people that we've. That have moved on for the most part because they've literally moved out of the area.
Yeah.
And I don't think we ran them out. I'm pretty sure.
Hope not.
Yeah.
Well, I ran one. Well, okay. Anyway, go on with that one. Where do you see our classes here in America? Where do you see it going? Do you have an ultimate goal or?
Well, I think the where I see the English martial arts in general going is kind of the same route that HEMA in general is going, and HEMA being the historic European martial arts. And that is that it's expanding. We are beginning to rival our Oriental martial art counterparts that are out there. And in certain areas, I think we're bigger in general. Now I say we, I mean historical European martial arts or Western martial arts. It was a small beginnings, and it's, you know, Terry Brown was one of the first, when I was still just a little guy, he was teaching or learning English martial arts. And there's been some others that were that same way that have laid the groundwork for what we're doing now. But wow, just the past, 5-10 years, HEMA has really taken off, and Facebook and those types of things have really been part of that. And that whole community is wonderful. And we've met some really wonderful people that are part of that group that don't necessarily teach English martial arts, but they teach Western or a historical European. And regardless of good or bad, I appreciate the passion, and I appreciate the people that are willing to get out there and move it forward, because that's what's going to make the difference in the long run. So you ask me, where do I see it? I see us taking the stage along with equal to the Oriental or the Eastern martial arts that are out there, which is predominates martial arts in general. When people, even now, of course, when people say martial arts, they think karate or jiu-jitsu or MMA, which is a real big one. But again, it's growing and it's really taking on a lot of interesting aspects. Where I see us specifically, like the American Academy of English Martial Arts, growing, and I see us passing this information on to, you know, not just the kids, but also the adults that will then pass it on to their children and potentially open up their own schools and to teach it. the worst thing that could happen is that this just, you know, when I'm dead and gone, it's over for, and it doesn't go any further. Or when, and I know Terry's the same way, you know, he wants to see this continue, of course. I mean, all this hard work that he's put in and he's passed that on, and he's kept a very high, and I appreciate this, a very high level of quality control on his students. And as a result, it's a slower grow when you do that. But the end result is that you have a much higher quality product that comes out of it. And it can be excruciatingly slow at times, but it's worth it, I think, in the long run. So, but that's where we're heading. And, you know, most of the what we do is not just for the purpose of learning sword fighting, which is totally cool. I get quarterstaff fighting, two-handed sword, sword and buckler, sword and dagger, knife fighting, dagger fighting, bill fighting, threshold fighting, bare fist fighting. And that's to name just a few that we do in this. But it's also for the original purpose. And it's not sport. I love the sport stuff that's going on. Don't get me wrong. But it's for self-defense. It's for the purpose of defending your life, your family's life, your community's life. And that's what it was originally intended for, obviously. And it's something that we continue with. So, yes or no, we do not carry swords around with us. But to fight...
I have some in my car. Just not have it on my person.
That's right. As long as you got a permit. But the big thing was learning that and taking the approach that this is also to teach you how to defend yourself, to defend your life. And it really kind of changes on how it's taught and the perspective that it's used. And so we have a lot of fun with the sport kind of aspects of it. We've got a couple of guys that really are into that kind of thing, and they want to expand into other sporting type of arenas that are definitely available now, which is enormously huge. But also the foundation is actually a defense, a science of defense. And to me, that's where my heart is with it. Not the sport aspect of it. I love the sport aspect of it, but that's my foundation is not that. It's just the defending your life. And so that's it.
And how long have you been doing this again? Since
with English martial arts, I've been training with Terry Brown since 1999, June of 1999. So what's that? 17 years now. Almost 17.
Definitely not good for math here.
Almost 17. So it's been a wonderful journey, and I can't wait to see where it takes us from here.
You got a Meister's Prize on the horizon at some point that you're going to go after?
Yes, that is definitely on the agenda. So I've got to get myself prepared for that. But that's just part of the growing process, you know.
Bonus question. What is your favorite weapon and why?
I would say...
And don't say all of them. That's a cop-out.
I would say that the... I fluctuate between favorites. It's like asking, which is your favorite kid? I love the broadsword. That was the very first weapon I was introduced with. And so single sword, single-handed sword. I've really enjoyed two-hand sword. Quarterstaff is always great. Probably not my most favorite weapon, but it's definitely up there. So I'd say or single sword, two-hand sword, and my first love is always bare fist. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely top three. And what order, I couldn't tell you. Like I said, I kind of fluctuate. There's days when I love the threshold until it hits me back. The bill is just completely awesome and devastatingly powerful and scary. Those are probably my top three.
Great. Well, this has been wonderful. It's been great talking to you. We do see each other every week. I suppose that's it. That's English Martial Arts Podcast. My name is Stuart.
I'm Chris. Thank you.
Y'all have a good day.
Thank you.
And a big thank you there to Stuart and Chris for that interview. I don't usually interview. I usually like to let the guest tell his own story. But for this particular one, because it was from America and Stuart has got all the gear, it was a great opportunity to have an interview with Chris. We also have some very special podcasts coming as well. These ones will be from students of HEMA and martial arts from around the world. It will give the students' point of view. It will give the students look from the outside in and their point of view and how they train and why they train and on their teachers and on their martial arts in general, what they think of the scene and where the martial arts are going to go in the future for them. So they're really, really worth catching. So once again, from the English Martial Arts Podcast, thank you and goodbye till next time.